And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your boom, boom.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic.
And we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Happy Friday, everyone. Since it is Friday, that means we had professional football last night. The 49ers are undefeated. They faced Kyler Murray and the Cardinals and won 28-25. Jimmy G went off, 317 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. Jalen, what did you think of Jimmy G, George Kittle, and the new Emmanuel Sanders for the 49ers?
Props to what the 49ers, John Lynch, and Kyle Shanahan are building, because it's starting from the top down. They understood that they needed a number one receiver. Went and got one, Emmanuel Sanders, 7 catches, 112 yards in a TD. Already have a top-tier tight end in Kittle. Mm-hmm. It unlocks their offense for one that was so very run-dominant. Now all of a sudden, it sets up the play action, and Garoppolo can have a 4-touchdown pass game. It looked complete. Earlier in the year, the defense was carrying the load, and the offense was running the football, but it was more pedestrian as it related to passing yards. Last night, the total team concept got unlocked, and it looked really good.
It really did look good, and you mentioned George Kittle, and he always had something to say, and here's what he had to say about his starting quarterback, Jimmy G. Let's listen.
He's pretty good. I don't know why people don't think he is. He makes some pretty gutsy throws out there, doesn't he? Goodness gracious.
I can't say enough about just how he brings us along, you know, just whether it's on the sideline or in the huddle and, you know, the leadership that he has. But, you know, the fire that he, you know, has too, just kind of just gets the people going. And just to see him, you know, make those plays and, you know, allow him to get those people off his back that, you know, say, hey, maybe he's not, you know, what we think he is. But, you know, everyone in this building or in our locker room knows what he is. It's fun to see that.
The 49ers are 8-0, yet it seems like in the media we don't respect Jimmy G like he is the quarterback of an undefeated football team. Do you think he should be considered amongst the best quarterbacks in the league?
Absolutely not, because he isn't. And let's not act like Garoppolo's an underdog. He got a $100+ million deal after starting 7 games. Okay, look back at the passing numbers over the first 7 weeks. They were average at best. He went off against the Cardinals. We are giving him credit. 4 big touchdown passes. But he's not an underdog at all.
Well, he went off against the Cardinals, and Kawhi Leonard went off against the San Antonio Spurs last night. He had 38 points to help the Clippers beat the Spurs 103-97. Jalen, what did you think about Kawhi's big night?
You know how much I love Kawhi. We both were coached by Steve Fisher. I've been following his game and his growth and maturity for very long. And defense used to be his calling card until his offense caught up. Yep. That's what made him the best and most complete player on both ends of the floor in the league and the reigning finals MVP. But let me tell you what I don't like.
Uh-oh.
Turning on the television, his team is playing at Utah, and he's already missing games due to load management. It's 2 weeks into the season, and we already got players sitting out games. So I'm not surprised that he had a big-time game because he's arguably the best player in the league. But also, he had a handful of days off. So I anticipated that he was going to have a big game going up against his former squad.
So my question for you about load management is this. Does Kawhi Leonard tell the Clippers that he wants to take a certain game off, or do the Clippers tell Kawhi Leonard that he's going to take a certain game off?
So here's a dirty secret. There are multiple teams around the league who have a medical staff who basically acknowledge how many minutes a player should play, how many hours a night you should sleep, and they will go and tell the team that a guy, in Kawhi's case, that has dealt with some injuries, could use a day off. Mm-hmm. However, the buck stops with the player. Name any player from a previous era. Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Reggie Miller, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, John Stockton. Imagine somebody going to those guys and saying, we want you to not play tonight. What do you think that conversation would go like?
It just would not happen. It would never, ever happen in a previous era. But when you win a championship with the Toronto Raptors and you only play 60 games, it's hard to argue with the results. How many games do you think he will play for the Clippers this regular season out of the 82?
Well, you don't put that toothpaste back in the tube. You just said it. Once you win a championship and you miss 21, 22 games in doing such, that's going to be the norm going forward. So I'll say 68 is the number of games he'll play this year.
It seems about right. That does seem about right. Jalen, I have huge news. The New Orleans Pelicans won a basketball game. The New Orleans Pelicans won a basketball game. And it's not just that they won, it's how they did it. They got 25 from Ingram and 26 points from that man, Jahlil Okafor. Jalen, can the Pelicans count on this duo to produce like that as the season progresses?
Yes, they can count on the Duke duo. And I was somebody that used his voice to make sure I acknowledge when the 76ers basically buried Jahlil Okafor when they drafted Joel Embiid. He showed me he could play in the league then. And so I appreciate that he's reinvented himself. Alvin Gentry has given him an opportunity, put him in positions to shine. Now you see both of those guys. Ingram has already shown me he can score the basketball. He can shoot the three. He likes to play a lot more mid-range than the analytics guys like for him to play. But he has a complete offensive game, and it continues to grow. So it was great to see both of those guys have a big night and a victory.
It is. I always root for players that I feel have been disrespected by previous franchises, like Jahlil Okafor and Markel Fultz comes to mind. And I think you do too, because once upon a time, you may have been a victim of some DMPs from a certain head coach that still stays with you to this day. Well, something that was very notable about this game, Michael Porter Jr. Not only did he play, he played 21 minutes, had 15 points. He looked great. What do you see from Michael Porter Jr.?
All of the signs of a player that the Denver Nuggets are going to need to take that next step. And this is why you draft him in the lottery while he was injured, even though a lot of people understood that he had a top-tier talent. Because if you look up front for the Nuggets, Paul Millsap is starting basically and playing a lot of those quality minutes.
Yep.
And if you look at the adaptivity of playing alongside the Joker, who's not the most athletic player in the league, but he's very smart, he's very skilled, and he's very versatile. I think a stretch four playing beside him really would put them in a position to take it to the next step. And so it was great to see this young player who's overcome so many injuries get out there and perform and have a big game.
He had a big game and he played well. Why do you think they waited this long for him to get minutes?
Because of the injury history. It's one of those things I always say. If a player tells you they're ready to go, you're like, all right, big fella, I got you. I got you so much that I'm going to rest you a couple of more games to be safe. And that's what they did. We all saw the anticipation of, is he going to play tonight? Is he going to play the next night? They bringing him along slowly so you don't have any setbacks.
Well, Mike Malone was very upset after this game. He said that we're a great talk team. He's like, they talk about having championship aspirations, but they're not backing it up. And I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to say it again. You mentioned the stretch four. I love the stretch mark five that they have, Jokic, but he's really feast or famine. He was 13-6-6 in this game. What can they do to get more out of Jokic?
Jokic just has to be a lot more aggressive and effective. And the great thing about having a season the way he had last year, now people going to come for you, Jacoby. You know how this works. You're on the scouting report now. They're going to double team you. They're going to triple team you. They're going to understand where you're most effective on the floor, and they're going to try to take that away from you. One of the beauties of Jokic's game is that he's not athletic. But the rest of the league is very athletic.
Yes.
And
yes.
So therefore, that speed and that leaping ability, I think a lot of defenses are using that against him.
I think you make a really good point, because the Nuggets kind of snuck up on everybody last year. And they had such a great record that they're not sneaking up on anybody this year. And Coach Malone is talking about it. He's upset about some of their performances, especially defensively. They gave up a lot of fast break points. And I think that's sort of what you hinted at, the scouting report. They're not, the expectations are high. People gear up to play against them. And I predict that they'll probably have a worse record this year than last year because of that. Jalen, Jokic, we talked about, is one of the best bigs in the league. Two of the best bigs in the league a couple nights ago got tangled up in a fracas, and that was Joel Embiid and Karl Anthony Towns. And now the league has levied the suspensions. Two games for Embiid, two games for Towns, zero games for Ben Simmons. What do you think about the penalties for the fight?
Simmons should at least got one game, because he's actively participating right there with his arm around Karl Anthony Towns' neck. Okay, I don't care what they said to one another. He's literally on the back of him, basically choking him. And so I think the NBA got that part wrong. I like the two games not being more, and here's why. And I mentioned this yesterday. They were in such close proximity of one another that none of the blows landed flush, and they ended up grappling and throwing one another to the floor. It wasn't like they got a chance to square up and make it look like an ugly scene that would have caused them to have to suspend them for more games.
I'm also surprised about Ben Simmons' lack of suspension, because the 76ers were trying to call him a peacemaker. What kind of peacemaker chokes somebody out? Like, he's got his eyes choking him out. That is not making peace. That is violent, aggressive behavior that literally can kill a person. But they're calling him a peacemaker. Ben Simmons woke up. He was like, wait, I didn't get suspended? You know you did something wrong when the person is surprised they did not get suspended. Just okay is not okay, whether you're talking about your wireless network or college football. So on Saturday morning, when you're looking for the best game to watch, we know you're all in on your team. But after that, don't settle for just an okay matchup. Do what I do. Find the best game that's going on with the best teams and the best players, like choosing a wireless network. You want to go with America's best network. That's AT&T. Just like the best of the best in college football, you can never settle for just okay. Whether you're trying to coordinate who's painting their chest with what letter or where the tailgate is going down, just okay is never okay, especially when it comes to your wireless network. So get AT&T, America's best network, and stay on top of your game all season long. Best network based on GWS One Score, September 2019. Jalen Rose, the Heat beat the Trae Young-less Hawk last night, but the story is none other than Kendrick Nunn. He had 28 points, and get this, he has scored more points in his first five games than anyone except for Kevin Durant and Jerry Stackhouse. Jalen, what do you think about this rookie that seemingly has come out of nowhere for the Heat?
He's a lefty. He's athletic. He's strong. He competes defensively. His collegiate career was derailed by some personal issues away from the floor. Has always been talented. And this is what I say constantly into this microphone. Two words, player development.
Yep.
Eric Spoelstra does a terrific job of taking players that seem need a little polish and turning them into performers on the floor. Look at Bam Adebayo, the exact same thing. In that culture, they're going to make sure that they highlight guys that bring effort and toughness. And so much is being said about players that change teams this offseason. Remember, Jimmy Butler left an opportunity to play with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons to go be the guy in Miami. Okay, let's not forget that. And so I want to applaud how, flying under the radar when we talk about teams in the Eastern Conference, the Heat have got off to a great start.
They really have. And you mentioned player development. You know, Tyler Hero, we talk about all the time. But Bam Adebayo, and then they've got, like, Derek Jones Jr. and Kendrick Nunn himself. And one of the things I want to ask you about Kendrick Nunn is he was in the Warriors system last year. You look at the injuries of Klay Thompson, the injuries of Steph Curry, and then you see what Nunn has been doing. Do you think people in the front office of the Warriors are asking each other questions about what happened with Kendrick Nunn?
I don't think so, because here's what ended up happening. The Warriors were so very good over a five-year period that it was championship or bust. They were the elite super team. And at that point, there becomes a tipping part to where you can't keep everybody and continue to maximize. You can't continue to develop young players because you don't have the time to. You got the Splash Brothers. You got Andre Iguodala. You got Sean Livingston. You got Kevin Durant. So they had so many players, they didn't have the necessary time, in theory, on the floor to develop somebody new into their situation.
Well, the Atlanta Hawks have a very young core. They're trying to develop their players as well. And one of the sort of overlooked rookies that they have is Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish did something on a basketball court that I have never seen before. Check out this play here, Jalen. That's one spin, two spins. Jalen Rose is the double spin move, the future of the NBA.
Not at all. That's called being out of control. That's why it was a brick that almost gave the logo a concussion on the backboard. And that's why the team was like, we going the other way. Let's go. We out of here. So that is not the new wave. That was an out of control. That should have been a turnover instead of a missed shot.
That's hilarious. Jalen, Kevin Durant was on First Take yesterday, and we talked about him saying Draymond had a piece of him leaving the Warriors, and he made some really interesting statements. But there's one thing that you specifically wanted to discuss, and that was him saying the five players that he likes to watch the most. Let's listen to KD on First Take.
I'm going to give you the five players I like in the league. Obviously, Kyrie, LeBron, James Harden, Joel Embiid. I'm missing a lot of guys I enjoy, but Damian Lillard, probably the last guy. But, I mean, so many great players. The name's just five, but all of those guys, I just enjoy watching them play.
Jalen, what stood out to you about his list?
So a couple of things stood out about his list. Kevin Durant has played with three players that have won MVP of the NBA. James Harden while he was in Houston, Russell Westbrook while he was in the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Stephen Curry as a Golden State Warrior. And the year that Steph won MVP, his team also won 73 games, beat Kevin Durant's team in the playoffs, and Kevin Durant went and joined their team. So I've seen KD do a couple of lists of players, but it continues to boggle my mind how he purposely not only leaves off Russ, but leaves off Steph. You had to enjoy what the Warriors were doing because you went and joined them and then won two championships with them.
Good point. That's
the thing that basically stood out to me about his list.
So, Jalen, sometimes you prepare for the show. You know, sometimes you prepare for the show and you put in some work and you're a very creative mind. And you and I were going to put together our list, but you put a twist on it that was really helpful. You said, you know what? Anyone can make a list and say James Harden and Kyrie Irving. But what we did is we made our list of players that we enjoy watching that have never, ever made an all-star team. That was a nice twist. So let's take a look at your list and you kind of walk us through your decision making.
Because it's always important to me to go deeper in the box score. And a lot of times when I'm watching League Pass, you're going to highlight all of the big-time players that have been so very accomplished in the game. But look at this list of guys right here. Look at those numbers, by the way. C.J. McCollum, his team made it to the conference finals last year. Donovan Mitchell took the league by storm in Utah. They're a contender now. Kyle Kuzma needs to be that third piece for the Los Angeles Lakers to take that leap. Devin Booker has scored 70 points in a basketball game already in his young career.
Woo.
And the Phoenix Suns have got off to a terrific start. So those are the guys I want to make sure I give love. And lastly, I know he's dealing with an injury right now. Nobody in the league has made more shots from 30 feet and beyond than Trae Young.
Great point.
He's a terrific playmaker. And he has unlimited range. So those are my top five players that aren't on Jacoby's list, that haven't been all-stars, that I enjoy watching.
Yeah, see, you know I love fancy passes. You know, that's my favorite thing. So I was so mad when you took Trae Young. I love fancy passes, especially if they're unnecessary. So let's take a look at my list really quick of players that have never been an all-star that I love to watch. Luka Doncic.
You look so handsome.
Luka Doncic, Tyler Hero. I think they photoshopped me in a suit. Patrick Beverley, Pascal Siakam, and my guy, LaMelo Ball. I might move to Australia. I legit might move to Australia because I love Melo Ball so much. I love LaMelo Ball, and I'm going to predict right now that he will be a top two pick in next year's draft. What he is doing against grown men in Australia is really impressive. Yep. Jalen Rose, the Lakers take on the Mavs tonight, but they will be doing so with a brand new piece. They will have the debut this season of Kyle Kuzma. How will Kyle Kuzma change this Lakers team?
The Lakers are a tall basketball team. They have the opportunity to be a physical basketball team. That's what Frank Vogel as the coach prides himself on. And Kyle Kuzma gets buckets really quickly and effectively. And so now all of a sudden you put him on the court with LeBron James's intellect and playmaking, Anthony Davis's skill and versatility. It unlocks their front court. And closing the game, those three guys are going to be out there. The dynamic that they're trying to iron out is who's going to be the other two. I would use Danny Green, and then it depends on the matchup. Will it be Avery Bradley? Will it be Rajon Rondo? So he's a huge piece, and the reason why the Lakers have an opportunity, along with the other great players they have on the team, to do something special this year.
See, I absolutely agree. I think Kyle Kuzma is going to be huge for them because one thing I always say about LeBron James, you need to surround him with shooters and defenders. And Kyle Kuzma is a shooter. Danny Green is a perfect fit for LeBron James' offense, but now you have a second three-point knockdown shooter on the floor to help LeBron James and Anthony Davis when they suck in all that attention when they run pick and rolls. I think Kuzma is going to be huge for them. I think there'll be a drop-off in production from last year, obviously, but I think that his impact will be great on the win-loss record of them. They also face the Mavericks, and everybody talks about dynamic duos in the NBA this year. The duo is sort of like the term of the NBA this year, and everyone overlooks this dynamic duo, who we have the first to say are the only duo in the NBA that are on the rise, that have not reached their prime of their careers. They're locked into the Mavs for quite some time. I'm going to make a prediction right now, Jalen Rose. I think Luka and KP will win a championship together at some point in their career with the Mavericks. Are you with me on that?
I am with you on that. They're well coached. They have a great owner in Mark Cuban. And also, people are going to want to play with them.
Yes.
Anytime you have plus, I love any point guard that's wearing number 77. I love any 7'3" guy that's wearing number 6. I just like that so very much. And so as they continue to grow and mature, they'll figure out how to build a team around those guys. They have something special going on in Dallas.
I really think so, too. I think that what this year will be a sort of growth year. They'll learn how to play together. And the front office and Rick Carlisle will learn what type of pieces will best complement them. And then over the next couple of years, you'll see they'll start to form into what they ultimately can be with their potential. I'm predicting that the Mavs are going to win a championship in like 2022. And remember, I said this. Write this down, everybody. David Jacoby said the Mavs are going to win the championship in 2022. Write it down. I got a pen, too. I'm going to write it down. No one cares if I write it down, though. Moving on to another big game tonight. We have the Rockets and the Nets colliding in Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Nets have been a little disappointing so far, Jalen Rose. They are right now 1-3 with their only win coming against the Knicks. Is this just sort of a slow start, or is this the new reality for the Brooklyn Nets?
Anytime you anticipated to hover around being a 500 basketball team, there are going to be ebbs and flows to the season. And you got to understand, Caris LeVert was on an all-star projectile last year before he got injured. Spencer Dinwiddie is a terrific, whether starting guard and or substitute guard, that could come in and dribble pass and shoot and play make. And then all of a sudden you add probably the most dynamic ball handler in the game in Kyrie Irving, which means there are going to be a lot of possessions where he's taking multiple dribbles and those guys are just spotting up. That wasn't necessarily what they were doing before he arrived. And then when you look down low, Allen struggles to go against players that are bigger and stronger than he is. And DeAndre Jordan just isn't as effective as he used to be. So, and Harris, I expected him to make a lot more shots. It seems like he gets opportunities to knock down. And every time I look up, he misses that shot that can be a momentum builder. So I think they will find a way to get it going and have a season that I anticipate. But the struggles are real, and teams understand that they have an opportunity to get dubs against them, and they're taking advantage of it early.
Well, James Harden has been on a tear thus far this season. He scored 59 points in Washington, and the team put up 159. We sort of assumed that Russell Westbrook's presence would, slow his production a little bit, but that hasn't been the way it's gone. What do you think about James Harden's offensive production so far this season?
So as we talk about building teams, that's what Daryl Morey did here. You said, and accurately so, the Mavs are going to figure out what to put around KP and around Luka. That's what the Rockets have done here. The only two people that are going to be ball dominant on their team are James Harden and Russell Westbrook. That's why they're going to basically account for the majority of their points and assists. He had 59. Russ had his triple-double. And the parts around them don't necessarily need the ball. Eric Gordon, knockdown, catch and shooter. Same with P.J. Tucker. Capella, rim runner, layups and dunks. And so these guys have the opportunity to play to the strength of their game on a nightly basis.
Jalen, the relationship between Trent Williams and the Washington football team has been curious. They've been at odds over contract negotiation all season long, and now it's gotten even more tense. Trent Williams is claiming that the Washington football team's medical staff misdiagnosed a lump in his head that later proved to be cancerous. Here's what Trent said about the experience.
I mean, the lump continued to grow over the years, and I mean, it was concerning, but it was no pain involved. And, you know, if I'm being told by the very people who, you know, I put my career in the hands of, they're telling me that I'm fine, then I'm fine. You know, that's how I looked at it. They kind of underestimated it, and it was far more advanced than they had realized, and I don't think they realized how long it was there. It's a lot of emotions. I'm not going to lie, I said it wasn't. It's a ton of emotions, you know. I mean, I almost lost my life.
I even got you a bag.
Like, seriously, like, I almost lost my life. Like, it was no, you're 30, coming off seven straight Pro Bowl, and the doctor tell you to get your affairs in order, it's not going to sit well with you, you know, and it still doesn't. And it's still, even thinking about it, it's a scary thing to go through, you know. Think how you can describe your 9-year-old, 5-year-old, that, you know, daddy might not be here. So it's tough.
Wow, that daddy might not be here part really hits home for a lot of us, especially me. And my question for you is this: as someone who played professional sports, you've put faith in a team's medical staff, and he feels like he's somewhat been mistreated. And my question for you is, what is the relationship like between your employer and your employer having a medical staff? How much faith do you put in them? When do you get a second opinion? How does that work?
Now that information is readily available and players are as smart as they've ever been in the league, making sure that they do what they could to take care of themselves, you always basically need a second opinion because the medical staff works for the team. Let me say that again. The medical staff works for the team, not for Trent Williams, who this is so very negligent. I see a lawsuit coming in 3, 2, 1 seconds, by the way, number one. Number two, I applaud his composure to even be able to sit there and have that conversation with the media and bring us behind the curtain with a level of civility and maturity. It takes a lot of discipline to do what he did and not outwardly show his anger, his frustration, his disappointment. And there was a time during this year when with him not playing, there were certain fans that felt like, oh, he was just trying to sit out to get a contract. He never even told the public this information until then. And so for him to handle it the way he did, I applaud. For them to handle it the way that they did, it's so very disturbing that I'm pretty sure he's been on the phone with some attorneys because a lawsuit should be coming soon.
The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. Jalen Rose, we don't force topics on this show, and there's just so much to discuss that we can't get through it all, so we have a segment that we love, and it's called
Keep it moving. If you want to discuss the topic, Jalen, you say hit the brakes. If not, me, you, and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
We are only one sleep away from Masvidal Diaz. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Jalen, I'm going to tell you my plans for Saturday. I'm going to parent my kids, and then when they go to sleep, I'm going to go to sleep because I'm going to need a nap. I usually don't stay out this late. Jalen, are you going to stand me up? Are you going to come with me to this big fight in MSG?
We will be at MSG. And the other only other two times we've been there are to watch the Knicks play and to watch the Power premiere.
That's right.
How important this is to us. Just think
That's
about
right.
that. That was the last time we've been to the Garden. It's going to be a great fight. It's highly anticipated. All I know is it's going to be a lot of blood being shed in the ring. There's
going to
be a lot of blood. Masvidal is coming for it.
Who do you have winning the fight?
I'm going with the guy that dressed up like Scarface at the press conference. Masvidal.
I mean, I haven't seen Diaz fight in so long, it's hard for me to pick it. But just because I don't like you, I'm going to pick Diaz so we can make a wager on the fight. Moving on. Tom Brady trolled somebody during Halloween. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Well, let's take a look at a picture that Tom Brady posted on social media of him and Peyton Manning. And he wrote, "Getting old, Peyton, with a skeleton with a Peyton Manning jersey on it." I always say you can be mean if you're funny. Is this funny enough to be mean about Peyton Manning?
It's not really funny, but it's not really mean.
Fair.
But it's Tom Brady, so it's relevant. It's about Peyton Manning. They're both really famous and successful.
Yep.
You know, I could go either way on it.
Tom Brady played football at, oh, that's right, Michigan. They have a game this weekend. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes, please, sir.
Okay, sir. Play the flight song, Reggie. Michigan will travel to Maryland to take the 3-5 Terps. Could this potentially be a trap game for the Wolverines?
All I know is this. We're about to beat the brakes off Maryland. And so, I remember a few weeks ago, people were wondering at that point, was the season going to get away from the Wolverines? And did Jim Harbaugh lose the locker room? We was talking about players liking tweets.
Yep.
We was talking about can they lose 4 or 5 games?
Yep.
Did you see how we handled Notre Dame?
Handily.
Now we roll into this Maryland game. I'm putting 50 on the board right now.
50
for how
points?
Many we going to score?
50 points? I would love to see it, and they need to get some momentum as they have some big games left this season that I'm sure we will mention here on Jalen and Jacoby. The biggest game in college football this weekend is 2 top 10 teams, Georgia and Florida. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
You know my daughter goes to Georgia, so I'm rooting for the Bulldogs. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving.
We'll keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
Sports Illustrated put a 15-year-old basketball player from Michigan on the cover. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes. Amone Bates, a Michigander, is 15 years old and is a very hyped NBA prospect. Jalen, I ask you this question as someone who has been a hyped prospect himself. Is 15 too young for this kind of spotlight?
I don't think so, because in other sports, this happens really often. In golf, in tennis, when somebody's really talented at what they do, there's no denying that they're going to get coverage. And so for Imani, he's been such a terrific prospect that I'm going to go and watch him play a couple of times this year because he is a special young player.
That's fair. Jalen Rose, KD had a very, or what I consider a strange choice for his favorite album of all time. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Since you think it was a strange choice, we must hit the brakes.
Okay, one thing I always say is you can't be wrong about your own opinion. So I'm not saying KD's favorite album isn't Take Care from Drake. I mean, it's his opinion. It just wouldn't be my particular choice. So I ask you the question, Jalen Rose. What is your favorite album of all time? You can only pick one. I know I'm putting you on the spot. You can only pick one. I knew this is going to break, Jalen.
Favorite album of all time.
I knew this is going to break, Jalen.
But It takes a nation of millions to hold us back, Public Enemy.
Okay, mine is Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys. Moving on, Jalen Rose. Zion Williamson isn't playing, but he made an impact at the game last night. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
All right. Here is Zion Williamson celebrating the Pelicans, and he hits Jackson Hayes in the face. Look at him. Hit him right in the face. Jalen, what would you do if Zion hit you in the face?
I would bleed. I'll probably need to go get stitches. But can I say this? This is what happens when you're the number one pick and you have a shoe deal that pays you more than your NBA contract. You can elbow your teammate in the face and don't even apologize.
Didn't even look back. Didn't even make any eye contact. Didn't look back. Just cursed to no one. I would at least apologize if I hit somebody in the face and I was the size of Zion Williamson. Jalen, we have a big weekend in the National Football League. Sunday's going to be a big day for other reasons as well. We'll get to that, but we start with Sunday night. The big game Sunday night between the Ravens and the Patriots. 8-0 against 5-2. Tom Brady against Lamar Jackson. A contrast of styles. Jalen, yesterday you said that the Ravens were going to win this game. Are you sure about that? Do you want to take that back? Because you're wrong.
The Ravens play a unique style of football in today's landscape because they have a quarterback who's still evolving as a passer, but he's a terrific runner, one of the best that we've seen. So if you watch, they use multiple offensive linemen, multiple tight ends, whether they're lining up in the backfield, multiple backs. And so that allows you to be a ball control team. Therefore, Tom Brady's standing on the sideline. Now, I've said all season that the Patriots have the best secondary in football. They haven't really been tested via the run and or the competition. And that's something I'm also looking forward to it. And the Ravens under John Harbaugh have always prided themselves as being a physical football team. That's just who they are. That's their identity. That's their calling card. So that combination of physicality and toughness, Humphrey is going to be the key. He's going to make a couple of turnovers that are going to be game changing. I'm still taking the Ravens.
Jalen, you make great points. And there's a lot of logic there. I mean, the Patriots secondary is so good that it cleans up a lot of the weaknesses on defense. And they are susceptible to be run on. And Lamar Jackson can do it with his arm and he can do it on the ground. And I think that this type of team is the right type of team to beat the Patriots. But there's no way they're going to beat the Patriots. Like, just anytime you sit down and you pick against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, you're just a fool. Like, it's just, I'm going to say that they're not just going to win. They're going to win by over a possession. I'm going to say they're going to win by over 8 points. Now, I'm going to give you one more opportunity because you know that that microphone records what you say and that camera in front of you broadcasts your face. So I'm going to give you one more chance to back off this prediction. Are you sure the Ravens are going to win against the Patriots on Sunday night?
Tom Brady's looking. He's throwing it to Mohamed Sanu, who, by the way, is going to catch 2 touchdowns in this game. Mm. But one of these times is going to get picked by Earl Thomas. I'm still sticking with my pick. Mark Ingram has a big game, goes over 100 yards rushing. I'm sticking with my Ravens pick.
Well, there is another huge game in the NFL. It's kind of being overshadowed by this big matchup in Baltimore, and that is in Kansas City, where the Chiefs will host the Vikings. Now, the biggest thing that will swing this game will be Patrick Mahomes' availability. He will likely be listed as questionable. We'll find out whether or not he will play about 90 minutes before the game. Jalen, do you think Mahomes should play if he's sort of like iffy about whether or not he's available?
There's a key word in the reporting that I don't want to go over people's head. It says limited practice. Mm. Until he's a full go, after I've seen him have an ankle injury, I've seen him have a kneecap issue, I don't put him on the field until he's 1,000% ready to go. Now, let me say something about the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. Each time people talk about the NFC, of course you better give the 49ers their love. They deserve it. Shout out to my brother
Saints,
Richard Sherman.
Packers.
Of course, you go talk about the Saints. Give them the Packers love. I'm going to keep saying this. Don't keep sleeping on the Vikings. They're a complete football team. They arguably got the two best tandem receivers in Diggs and Thielen. Dalvin Cook is a 3-down back. And Cousins has been on fire this year. So when we start sorting out who can win the NFC, put some respect on the Vikings' name. I'm going with them to win this game.
The Vikings are so good and the Packers are so good that it's bad news for your team, the Detroit Lions. They need a win and they're going to the Bay to play the Raiders. Jalen, is going to be more meow or more roar from the Lions on Sunday?
It's hard to pick against the Raiders at home. They're going to get the tight end involved. They pride themselves on trying to run the football. But Derek Carr is not Matthew Stafford. So I'm going with the Lions.
Yeah! Yeah!
Let's go, big play, Slay.
Shout out.
Reg the Ledge went into my ear, and he said, great voicemail today.
Yep.
And I'm always curious. I'm always curious what that means, because sometimes it's just someone disrespecting me. Let's see what Reggie considers a great voicemail. Hit it, Reg.
Down in Jacoby. What up, though? Shout out Reg the Ledge and the staff.
Shout out.
Matt from Gloucester City, New Jersey. Got two questions. One for the power president, Jalen, and one for the pizza president, Jacoby. First question is for Jacoby. Every Sunday, my wife and I make a homemade pizza and watch Power. Been doing it for years now. You're half pepperoni, half plain, since she doesn't like pepperoni. My wife always complains I get the bigger slices, and the pepperoni is touching her side. So my question is, how many pepperoni should I put on half a pizza? It's about medium size. We get 8 total slices out of it. Then my question for Jalen is, how do you see the season ending for Power? I mean, Ghost and Tommy are cold-blooded killers. Can't keep missing each other for too much longer. One or both got to go. I think Tyreek is going to be the last one standing and trying to take over all of New York like Ghost and Tommy did before. And also, where's all the loyalty at? Everyone's snitching on each other now. It's crazy. Let me know what you guys think. Giving the people what they want. Keep getting them checked.
You know what, Reg? That's a terrific voicemail.
That
is a great voicemail. It just really hits both of us in our expertise. It's both of our expertise. Jalen is the power analyst, and I am the pizza maker.
Yep.
So as the pizza maker, you better believe I have some thoughts on his voicemail. Number one, if you make a half pepperoni slice, it is impossible to not let the pepperoni grease get over to the other half. That's just the way it is. When you cook a pepperoni, the spicy grease comes out. It's going to get to the other half. So she's going to have, you're either going to have to make two pizzas, which is what I would suggest. Just make two individual pizzas. You know, you got to keep the lady happy. And it seems like having a great Sunday. I love this Sunday routine that you have. Now, to get to your question about the pepperoni, what you want to make sure is you never have a single bite without any pepperoni in it. That is the key to topping a pizza. You never, ever, ever want the gaps between the pepperonis to be so
expert
far
analysis.
That you have a bite
yes.
without the
yes.
pepperoni.
Yes.
Now, you yes. also don't want to completely blanket the pizza in pepperoni either, because then it gets a little too greasy, and you want them to be spaced apart so you guarantee a pepperoni presence in every single bite. So whatever amount of pepperonis that takes, and you want the pepperonis to never touch each other. And you also never want to double stack. I hate it when they double stack them. Someone just makes a mistake and they're getting lazy and they put one pepperoni on top of the other. No double stacking, no touching, but almost touching would be how I would do the pepperoni. Matt from Gloucester City, New Jersey. Jalen, he has questions about Power.
You're getting expert analysis on Jalen and Jacoby on two topics that are in our wheelhouse that we really love so very much. So a couple of things. Jason is dead. Ghost picks up the phone. He sees Tommy that was texting Jason to tell him Ghost was going to kill him. So now what I feel is next, you alluded to it. Tyreek is going to be the future Ghost. His mom already, Tasha, already told him that she was going to teach him the game. That was the precursor to that. A flip, Jesse Williams comes into the picture out of nowhere as Cash's dad. So now what I think is going to happen is, like I keep saying, with Blackish, Grownish, and Mixedish, you do spinoffs where Tyreek and Cash now be the new kingpins. So Ghost and Tommy won't keep missing each other. It's just that they won't kill each other until the final episode. And I think both of them ultimately die.
Okay. We had the pleasure of having Joseph Sakura right here in the studio. right? And we also had the pleasure of going to lunch with Joseph Sakura. What a great guy. You know, he's just a really good dude. Really good dude. Really, really solid human being. But he's intelligent. So he's not going to give us any spoilers on or off wax. But he said something that was really interesting. He said that there wouldn't be a spinoff with Tommy in it. And I was like, oh, what about the Tommy origin story going backwards? He said, well, most of the spinoffs will go forwards.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
And I might be reading too much into this, but he said there's going to be no spinoffs with Tommy in it. And he said the spinoffs will go forward. Jalen, put two and two together. What does that tell you?
You know, have you ever seen like a Rocky movie where there are two people in the ring and they both punch each other and they both fall out?
Yeah.
That's what I anticipate happening between
Tommy and Ghost.
Tommy and Ghost. Mm. Shoot out at the OK Corral. They both shoot each other up in a blaze of glory and they both die. Cold-blooded.
I love that idea. I love that idea. Jalen, I think you might be right about that. That's the only way to do it. Because you can't have someone else kill Tommy or Ghost, right? Because,
nope.
You know, like they're the two faces that you see on the cover, like in the logo. It would be so wrong if someone else got Tommy or Ghost, but it would also be wrong if only one of them was left standing. Jalen Rose, remember where you heard this first. This is what's going to happen. You're listening to the number one power analyst in the planet. No one watches more power than Jalen Rose. He watches every episode like three or four times. Whenever I'm on the phone with Jalen and he's not in the studio, like, what are you doing? He's like, watching Power. Just rewatching Power. So I'm going to say that you are 100% right. And it will be predicted right here on November 1st on Jalen and Jacoby of how Power will end. And I believe that you are correct. It will end with both Tommy and Ghost killing each other. Man, if you know what? They should just like, I just wish we were as good at talking about sports and pop culture as we are talking about pizza and Power. You know what I mean? Like, is there a
we
pizza
can go
network?
Forever with this topic. Yeah,
is there a pizza network? I gotta get the phone my agent. Is there a show about pizza? Is there something? I'm gonna go call my agent. Have a great weekend, Jalen Rose. First of all, before we go,
what up, though?
What time am I gonna see you on Saturday? What's the plan? What time do we get in? So I think the undercard starts at 10. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I want to walk in at 9:59. You tell me. You're a vet. You're the OG of the game. You've been to a couple events. You've been to a couple fights. How do we play this?
So. Since the undercard starts at 10, we should get there at 10:30.
Okay.
At 10:30. Butts already in seats. Cars are already valeted. The traffic is subdued. Mm-hmm. The crowd is still entering, but the majority of the crowd has already arrived. Number one. Number two, you come in around 10:30 because we got to make an entrance.
Yeah.
That's just what we do.
Yeah.
We gotta make an entrance.
Yeah.
We gotta have like, people like, there's Jalen and Jacoby.
Yeah. People be like, there's Jalen and that white guy. You know what I mean? It's Jalen and that white guy. People call me Jalen in the streets. They're like, yo, Jalen, what up? I'm like, yo, you just don't know my name. You just know that I'm associated with Jalen Rose. So you're calling me Jalen. Okay. Shout out to you.
Yeah.
I know a really good steakhouse.
10:30
I know a really
arrival.
Good steakhouse right by. I know a really good steakhouse that's walkable from there. I'm not going to say which one because I don't want
that's
people to show up. But you know the one and I absolutely love that place. We go there. We walk over. You stop and say hi to a million people on the way. I get kind of annoyed and then I just walk ahead and that's how we'll do it. Look forward to tomorrow. Jalen Rose, everyone have a safe weekend. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the fights. We'll be back on Monday. Why is that, KRS?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
Got to give the people time. Give people what they want.
Hey, my little guys. I love you.